Let's read together Job chapter 34. In this chapter, we have the second speech of Elihu, the fourth counselor in the dialogues with Job. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. Elihu further answered and said, "Hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me, you who have knowledge, for the ear tests words as the palate tests food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Job chapter 34, with some background notes. At the end of his first speech in chapter 33, Elihu gave Job a chance to respond, but Job remained silent. Look again at chapter 33, verses 32 and 33, where Elihu says to Job, "If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom." Job chapter 33, verses 32 and 33. Since Job remained silent, Elihu continued with a second speech here in chapter 34. Now in this second speech, Elihu first addressed the older counselors, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, in verses 1 through 15, and then he addressed Job himself in verses 16 through 37 of this chapter. We know this for sure because the Hebrew plural for you is used in the first 15 verses, and the Hebrew singular for you is used from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Remember, Elihu's basic position differs somewhat from the position of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Elihu doesn't deny that Job has sinned and that God is allowing Job to suffer. All four counselors are agreed on this point. The difference is that Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar are convinced that Job's suffering is punishment for Job's sin, whereas Elihu maintains that God is using Job's suffering for discipline and teaching. Well, that brings us to the first of our five doctrinal points for this chapter. So doctrinal point number one, in his second speech, Elihu directs Job's counselors. In his second speech, Elihu directs Job's counselors, verses 1 through 4. In these first four verses of the chapter that we just read, Elihu directs Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, Job's first three counselors, to listen to him as he analyzed Job's case. Just as a palate tests food by tasting it, so their ears should test Elihu's words. And they would find that if they agreed with Elihu, they would have made the good and right analysis of Job's situation. In his second speech, Elihu directs Job's counselors. Doctrinal point number two. In his second speech, Elihu denounces Job's claim. In his second speech, Elihu denounces Job's claim. Verses 5 through 9. "For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity, and walks with wicked men? For he has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight in God." In these verses, Elihu first summarized Job's claim that he was not lying when he said that he was innocent, and that he was not lying when he said he was being made to suffer unfairly, verses 5 and 6. But then Elihu wrongly accused Job of associating with the wicked and workers of iniquity, and also of saying that it did not profit a man to serve the Lord, verses 7 through 9. Job did not associate with wicked people, and Job had not actually said it did not profit a person to follow the Lord. Back in chapter 21, verse 15, Job said that that was what the wicked said, but Elihu wrongly put the words in Job's mouth. So Elihu is not completely on target in his analysis of Job's situation. In his second speech, Elihu denounces Job's claim. Doctrinal point number three. In his second speech, Elihu defends God's justice. In his second speech, Elihu defends God's justice. Verses 10 through 20. "Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth, Or who appointed him over the whole world, if he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die, in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. Job chapter 34, verses 10 through 20. Job had implied that God was unfair and complained that he was suffering unjustly. In these verses, verses 10 through 20 of chapter 34, Elihu stresses 7 points to defend God's justice. Number one, injustice is wrong and God does no wrong. Verse 10, therefore listen to me, you men of understanding, far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. Number two, God gives man what he deserves and that is not unjust. Verse 11, for God repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. And number three, injustice is contrary to God's character. Verse 12, surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. And number four, God is totally sovereign, and no one can influence him to do what is unjust. Verse 13, who gave God charge over the earth, or who appointed him over the whole world? And number five, God would be completely just if he let all life perish, but in his goodness and grace, he preserves life. Verses 14 and 15, if God should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. And number six, if God were unjust, how could he govern the world? Verses 16 and 17, if you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? And number seven, God does not show partiality to the rich and powerful as we do. Verses 18 through 20. Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet God is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die, in the middle of the night, the people are shaken and pass away, the mighty are taken away without a hand. So here in these verses, Elihu stresses 7 points to defend God's justice. In his second speech, Elihu defends God's justice. And doctrinal point number four, in his second speech, Elihu discusses God's judgment. In his second speech, Elihu discusses God's judgment, verses 21 through 30. In these verses, Elihu makes several more points about God's justice and his judgment of the wicked. Number one, God judges fairly because he is omniscient and sees all and knows all. No wickedness is hidden from God, verses 21 through 23. For God's eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he need not further consider a man that he should go before God in judgment. Number two, the bottom line for God's judgment is that the wicked have turned their back on God and do not consider any of his ways. Verses 24 through 27. God breaks in pieces mighty men without inquiry and sets others in their place. Therefore he knows their works. He overthrows them in the night, and they are crushed. He strikes them as wicked men in the open sight of others because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. And number three, even though it may seem that God is not fair in his judgment, it is only because we do not have the big picture. God does hear the cry of the poor and afflicted, and he is aware of all wickedness, national as well as individual. But as God, he decides when and where and how to judge, and he does. Verses 28 through 30 Let's read these verses. So that they cause the cry of the poor to come to him. For God hears the cry of the afflicted. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can see him? Whether it is against a nation or a man alone, that the hypocrite should not reign, lest the people be ensnared. So here we have some further points about God's justice and his judgment of the wicked. In his second speech, Elihu discusses God's judgment. And doctrinal point number 5. In his second speech, Elihu demands Job's discipline. Verses 31 through 37. For has anyone said to God, I have borne chastening, I will offend no more? Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should he repay it according to your terms, just because you disavow it? You must choose, and not I. Therefore speak what you know. Men of understanding say to me, wise men who listen to me, Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. We see in these verses that Elihu is awed at the audacity of Job to demand that God teach him where he had gone wrong. As if you can bring God, who is sovereign, down to the human level and deal with him on human terms. Verses 31 through 33. Certainly this was foolish talk on the part of Job. Verses 34 and 35. For this audacity and attitude, Job should be tested and disciplined to the limit. Verse 36. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. And Job's clapping of his hands to silence the others who were trying to defend God only added to Job's rebellious attitude. Verse 37, for he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. In his second speech, Elihu demands Job's discipline. Well, that brings us to our practical application for this 34th chapter of Job. Learn to counsel by listening. Learn to counsel by listening. You know, counseling fellow human beings is not always easy. There are various things you can do to improve your counseling ability. You can take formal courses in counseling, which can be helpful, especially if they emphasize using the Bible when you counsel. And you will certainly become a better counselor by doing it and not just talking about it. Listening to others' counsel will also tend to make you a better counselor, because you will see and hear what works and what doesn't work. You know, that's essentially what we've been doing as we've studied the dialogues between Job and his four counselors. And Elihu himself picked up some pointers as he had listened to the first three counselors, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. We too can pick up pointers on how to counsel and how not to counsel by reading and listening to the dialogues between Job and all four of his counselors. We will be guarded against making the same mistakes that they made. And we will be guided by what they did that was right. Learn to counsel by listening.